From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special pre-election edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. I am Hunter Dusing, and joining me off in the faraway lands will not be voting for Der Trump and Fuhrer, unfortunately. Stuart Balk, say hello, Stu.
This week is actually Stuart Danger.
Stuart Danger. Oy vey. Anyway. And joining me also is John Grace in Colorado, which is probably going for Clinton. Say hello, John.
Hi. I'll be the angriest guy you'll ever meet at a bagel shop.
Yes.
Actually, I think the state could go to Trump.
He had a rally on Saturday
I thought of attending, but I would have had to take my kid in tow and thus insured my divorce. But
he
drew a huge crowd.
And it was Bigley.
Bigley.
And you know, we went to Obama in the last two elections. We've been a red blue state for a while, but
the last two elections you went to what? Obama's
Obama what? Won.
Obama
oh,
won.
Obama. I was going to say I thought you went to his rallies. I was going to say
No. My mother did. She supported him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm in Texas, so you know which way the wind blows here.
You guys are all guns and whiskey and hang all the lawyers.
Yeah. We wish people lots of sons and lots of guns.
Yes. Very true.
But what are we talking about this week, Mr. Danger?
I thought you were Mr. Danger.
We're all dangers.
We're all dangers, yes. Yeah. We are talking about, you know, we've done election movies in the past, like we did The War Room with Bill.
Yeah.
A while back. This one is more timely, more of the day. We are doing Josh Krugman and Elyse Steinberg's documentary Wiener on the Anthony Weiner's ill-fated run for mayor of New York. You know, which,
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about some of the parts and they're just killing me just thinking about them.
My favorite, the poster for this movie is brilliant. It has Weiner walking down, like, leading a parade, and there's New York Post headlines. And New York, the Anthony Weiner scandal was the greatest gift ever given to the New York Post since Alexander Hamilton founded it. Yeah. I mean, Obama's like, I think Anthony Weiner should resign. And New York Post, Obama beats Weiner.
Yeah, all the headlines. They had someone running overtime and they just come up with headlines to top each other.
Weiner exposed, Weiner rising, Weiner's second coming.
I used to write headlines for a paper. And a lot of times the reporter is the first to suggest it. And then the editor makes the approval, so you could see where that comes yes. from. But yeah, the New York Post has always had the great headlines. Yeah.
But the great recent one, because Anthony Weiner is back in the news because he got in trouble for sexting a 15-year-old. You know, he wasn't content sexting of-age girls who aren't his wife. He had to go for some underage jailbait.
If you were not offended of him sexting a chubby porn star.
Ugh.
That Sydney Leathers is repulsive. We'll get to that.
She was gross. I was
sitting there. I never thought a movie would make me like sympathize with Weiner just a little bit because she's so fucking awful.
I kind of did. I had the same reaction.
Like when she's like, oh my God, he's afraid of a 23-year-old. I'm like, I wouldn't want to fucking be around you either. Jesus Christ. You're like human AIDS.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she looks like you get herpes just looking at her.
Oh, God, she's so just degenerate and gross. But anyway, so Weiner is the husband of Huma Abedin, or Uma, as Trump calls her. So Huma is the top aide to Hillary Clinton, and there was an investigation into Weiner because of his escapades online. And when investigating his laptop, they found, oh, here's all these emails that Hillary Clinton destroyed that have information about pay-to-play, using the Clinton Foundation as a pay-to-play front for the Justice Department, for her Secretary of State position for government favors.
Do we not see that laptop in this documentary? I'm sure we do.
I'm sure we do. Anthony Weiner is on devices constantly in this movie. He's always on a cell phone, an iPad, a laptop. Like, he's constantly plugged in.
Yeah.
And but so now Weiner is basically, you know, the alt-right's calling him the savior of Western civilization. So,
well, the meme going around of him in Russian uniform, like in front of the Kremlin, saying that we've discovered the leak. So.
Yeah, the Dickie leaks.
I mean, that's the amazing thing is how this documentary, it's timely and outdated at the same time.
Exactly. I think I saw you saying
this movie portrays.
I know this movie. It's worse now than it was during this film. And this whole movie, like, okay, so like the movie obviously started off as a puff piece for Weiner, like part of his rehabbing his image, right?
It really did.
Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be a ball washing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was supposed to be like, oh, look at this guy. It's supposed to be like a phoenix rising from the ashes. Like, oh, his career's been destroyed by, you know, the mistakes he made. You know, I was very disappointed we didn't get to see Andrew Breitbart Kanye Westing him at his his press conference where he admitted he lied because Breitbart got up there.
Of course, they hid stuff like that actually made him look smart or sharp.
But so it starts off like with Weiner, like he's getting his campaign together, and you see him at Huma like doing sort of, even though neither of them are white, they're doing Swipple things, like reading you know, nutritional facts on products to each other.
Yeah.
Like, we see these things that are obviously staged where it's, you know, supposed to portray them as this wonderful New York couple that are perfectly happy with a new kid. But then, and his race for mayor, you know, seems to be going well, you know.
Yeah, because they show him in front of enthusiastic crowds of gays.
Yep.
And Nicaraguans.
Like, yes, I was about to say
Nicaraguans. Or Ecuadorians or whatever.
I thought they were Dominicans. I couldn't tell. But
Dominican? I don't know.
I'm sure if Ronan Rowe had watched this, he could tell you exactly where that was.
Oh, yeah. He'd be like, oh, it's those. Never mind. I can't see it on the show.
Yeah, don't even try. we got to be the ones that bring Ronan back into the public light. So
We do. But then the Sidney Leathers sexting scandal hit.
Yeah.
And the rest of the movie is Anthony Weiner making the dog that got caught in a sexual scandal face, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all have seen that meme, but,
His second big scandal.
Yeah, it was the second one.
Unlike his third big scandal.
His third big scandal, which very well may bring down Hillary.
His third one is his magnum opus, without a doubt.
It really is. It's like the great final act. This is like an opera.
He may bring forth Ragnarok. Who would ever guess?
Yes. Like the next American Civil War will happen because Anthony Weiner's Tinder escapades.
All fucking people on the planet had to be him. You just know the Democrats are in absolute overdrive at the moment.
And Weiner's in hiding in a sex addict rehab. You know, he's off at a facility somewhere. Yeah.
Some guy tweeted Mike Cernovich today, the L. Ron Hubbard of the alt-right. And He claims he's got photos of Huma and Weiner like holding hands at the sex clinic. Like, the whole thing's a stage thing.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and Mike Cernovich is like, how much do you want for those photos? So I don't know if it's real. You know,
tomorrow. That sounds like one of those little WeSearcher things where it's like, hey, we this is out there. We'll give money for it, but you never hear anything about it.
The clickbait you always see on Facebook, which is like, we have a tape of Bill Clinton raping a 12-year-old. You know, that didn't ever occur.
Right, like Anonymous had this tape of Bill Clinton having sex with an underage girl. Never happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, Huma has since – I heard that she left Weiner, that they're separated right now.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, supposedly they're separate. Supposedly, finally, you know, obviously, I think judging from the documentary, and I mean, they're doing so much acting for the camera, and it completely drops when the scandals start breaking. They can't keep up the facade.
You can say they fractured when that happens.
I almost feel like they have a weird open marriage, like the Clintons.
John wanted to, John wanted to just go over and just sweep him off her feet.
Yeah. Try to put a smile on that constantly frowning face.
No, yeah, like, because she is pretty when she smiles.
And she never smiles.
Come on. She looks like Freddie Mercury 10 times over. She's just a mouthful. How much more fucking teeth can you fit into one mouth?
Don't make fun of her shovel jaw.
Jesus.
No, I
she looks like
Mr.
Ed.
Understand, Stu, that there's a difference when you're looking at New York women. There's a different scale of quality.
Oh, what, like Anthony Weiner's mother, who looks like a female?
Yeah, exactly.
She looks like him.
all you have in New York are basically, you know,
Italian girls in the Bronx.
Italian, Mediterranean descent, and, you know, you have to like that type of woman because that's the majority of them. You know,
I like that guy in the bagel shop. You married an Arab.
That was my favorite scene in the movie.
Oh, that guy was brutal. I was fucking.
And he's trying to get tough with him. He's like, what?
You're a terrible. By the way, speaking of that, like, whenever Anthony Weiner's on the street, he does this thing all politicians do. And it's something I've never seen Trump do once, which is a good thing. When he's on the street, he's like, yeah, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fix it up. You know, he does the tough, New York thing. He's like, we're going to fight for your family. We're going to fight for the middle class. We're going to fight for all you. And then he's at a Jamaican rally, and he's like, "Ay, Rasta!
Is that when he's behind the turntables? That was the most embarrassing thing I ever saw.
Oh my God.
That was, I said, look, guys, I was watching this in one of the living rooms, and I said to myself, he's lost it. He has literally lost the plot by this time. Because this is further into the documentary where, you know, it was just one headline after the other. And he lost it mentally. He was trying to salvage what he could.
But you see politicians do this all the time. Like Hillary, when she's talking to black audience, she's like, I know the struggle of the colored people.
No, Hunter, it's been Hat's ass. I carry hot sauce
in my purse.
That was cool. I was watching that bit on, I think it was Hannity, and he was showing it, and it was just cringeworthy because the guy goes, one of the black guys sitting there at the table with it goes, oh, you
know it's bullshit.
Yeah, he goes, oh, you're pandering to us. He goes, yeah, is it working? And laughs. I thought, oh, fuck, really? Trump would not do that. Seriously.
Well, Trump's always... Bigly. Yeah. I love NASA. So is a disaster. Yeah. Like, he's always Donald Trump. But like, even Obama, like when he's in the South, he really ups his accent, his Southern accent.
Yeah.
And you know, he changes his voice for the audience he's speaking to. It's this fucking gross, despicable thing that politicians do.
I'll tell you what, Hunter, if you can remember it back a few years, Obama now, he looks like the same cartoon character in that Sunday Go to Meeting Time.
Oh, my God.
He really does. He's just like...
Yeah, no, he's like... Did you see the clip of him, like, reading some slam poetry where he's like, gotta get them ribs. Gotta get that pussy, too.
Oh, yeah. I brought that up on a social media post, and some fucking insane leftist go, oh, he's reading from some book. I said, I don't care, you know, because if that was Trump or Mitt Romney, you know, 4 years back, they would have fucking executed him.
Yeah.
So don't get me started. Did you guys see Trump this morning?
No.
No.
He was at a rally. I think it might have been yesterday, and they showed the news this morning. He's like, okay, Donald, stay focused. Don't say nothing stupid. Stay focused, Donald. He's talking to himself and. Yeah, that was quite funny.
I mean, he's I like his off-the-cuff style, which is how they try to interpret him.
He's just more engaging than what she is.
Yeah, he's talking like a real human being. And they don't know how to deal with him because they've never run against a non-politician.
He's never run against somebody just purely.
Yeah, he's the citizen from the politician. Sector. He really is an outsider. They don't know what to do.
Oh. And so they're like, they're used to attacking politicians on their record. So they're trying to go after his business dealings. The problem is his business dealings are really nothing. It's like, oh, he went bankrupt 4 times. That happens. He's had several businesses fail. Yeah, most entrepreneurs do. Next.
Well, look, they've had a litany of things that they've thrown at him, and nothing stuck. Oh, you built all your buildings on Chinese steel. That went out the window because nothing
stuck.
And the thing is,
I have friends text me, like, Donald Trump's ties made in China, and they're like, oh, checkmate, Trumper. And I'm sitting there going, Donald Trump, of course he makes his ties in China, because the economy, that's the only smart way to do it.
Everything's fucking manufactured in China these days.
Because that's the way our economy's set up, and he's talking about changing that. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You're not obviously you don't run a business because you wouldn't expect Donald Trump to fucking eat a ton of money on fucking principles. That's retarded.
Yeah.
The ones who go out of business are the ones who try to stay principled, as if, you know, made.
Oh, it's like these businesses that are like, we're going to pay all of our employees $250,000 a year, and then about them again.
Yeah, you can't do
it. Or 80,000. It was some obscene amount of money for even the lowest level employee, and it's like, yeah, don't hear about those businesses anymore because they're gone.
Can we get a yay for globalism for that?
Yeah. Fucking hell. Yeah, and I mean, in the last couple of years, I've really turned on the whole globalist ideal. But I remember being in college, and I'm sorry if I've said this before on the show, but I remember thinking, man, NAFTA sounds horrible.
Oh, it was a disaster.
Yeah,
Trump was calling it a disaster back then. He said it's a terrible – like, there was a news article where it said the only prominent businessman to criticize is Donald Trump, who said it only benefits Mexico.
Yeah,
it does.
And he was right. Just like he also tweeted a couple of – 2 years ago that Huma Abedin is a security risk because she's married to Anthony Weiner?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was it? And her dad was saying that Thomas Jefferson was evil for going after the pirates off the Barbary Coast who were attacking American ships.
Because they were Muslims.
Yeah. Like the Muslim Brotherhood wouldn't say that? Oh, really, please.
Off the shores of Tripoli.
Well, she was like an editor for a Muslim Brotherhood newspaper or some publication like that. I didn't do any research. I didn't really care. I kind of just wanted the documentary to speak for itself. But yeah, she's got a shady past.
Oh, she completely. I mean, and the thing is,
I'm surprised she's not wearing like a dynamite belt at all times.
She probably is.
It's good. She's a ticking time bomb. She turned out to be one. I'm kind of glad.
She has been a time bomb for the Clinton campaign.
Yeah, I bet they really wish they could be all for that blocking Muslim immigration.
Yeah, well, she's got campaigning for her now, or Hillary Clinton does. So if anybody could turn back time, haha, bad joke. All right, whatever. Yeah. But the thing is, well, like the 12 or 13 women that came forward, said, oh, Trump groped me. Where are they gone? Soon as he said, I'm going to sue every one of them. No one came forward after that.
There's nothing there.
I tell you what, the Clinton machine would have said, you were a contestant of Miss Universe or Miss America, whatever he does, back in 2008. Okay, can you just say this? No, I'm not being sued by Trump. No, thanks.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people like Trump. Like, they try to get them to go after him, and they're like, nope, sorry, he was always a gentleman.
They had a Miss Universe who was a contestant who ended up being Miss Universe over here in 2003 or 4 or 5. I can't remember what it was. Jennifer Hawkins. They tried to over here to say, oh, Trump groped you. But she's like, no, he was actually very nice. I can't say nothing bad against the guy. So, I mean, they try him.
I've seen Playboy models say that, you know, when they were playmates in the 90s, and I guess Trump was more closer tied with Playboy. They said, no, he was a totally perfect gentleman. Nice guy. No, never said anything bad, nothing. Not even a leering eye.
The best person to follow on social media during this whole election, the best celebrity to follow, Scott Baio, without a doubt. He's just taking shots from people because he's a massive Trump supporter, and he's like, I don't give a fuck. His tweets are fucking hysterical, mate.
That Charles in Charge movie ain't happening, so he can just...
No, that's it. Yeah, that Johnny Loves Chachi film, mate.
He's basically got robot chicken appearances in his future.
You could say he zapped liberals, am I right?
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, next to Randy Quaid. Randy Quaid's the most entertaining person in the planet.
Yeah, Randy Quaid's one of the Bernie bros who went Trump.
Yeah.
Roseanne Barr also. She's totally red-pilled.
Really?
Yep. Her Twitter page is amazing.
Fuck, yeah, I would not have picked Roseanne of anybody.
I didn't see a comment, and I followed her, and it's like...
That's like Margaret Cho giving that interview that girl gave to Gavin McInnes on his show last week.
Did you see that? Did you watch
it? I did. Holy good shit. Lord. Oh my
that
God.
Was so good. It's like he handled it well, but
Gavin,
he was
after,
taken aback. He didn't see it coming.
Did you see Gavin? He goes, I think someone overdosed on red pills.
Yeah. She was insane. It was, I think somebody put her up to it. I think she knew she was punching him.
Yeah.
We'll
swing it back to Wiener. Yeah.
Yeah, back to Wiener, who's basically probably decided the election next week. By the time this drops, there will be a new president.
Thanks, Carlos.
Okay, so by the time you listen to this, this may be dated, but, we may sound like idiots.
And you'll be looking into your Costa Rican citizenship because Madam President.
Hillary Clinton's brain will be hooked up to a fucking robot in the White House.
It should be like what's his name? MODOK
MODOK.
I still think of the greatest interview I've ever seen, which was Alex Jones's interview with Matt Drudge. Mm-hmm. What we are going to get is Hillary Clinton's brain hooked up to a computer in the White House.
That's the one where Matt Drudge actually said she's a very sick woman and she shouldn't be running.
She is a very sick woman.
and he knew something. He had heard things.
He knows. Drudge is woke as fuck. Dude, that guy knows.
Yeah, he's been woke for years.
Yeah. There's a reason, every day when he wakes up in the morning, Drudge puts on his little fedora. He goes to Google and types in Hillary Clinton unflattering.
Yeah.
And sees what comes up.
He does it. He does it with Huma and he does it with Anthony Weiner constantly too. Now
Huma Abedin looking like Mr. Ed,
frowning like it's like her cat was just killed, and it's constant Huma. Weiner underwear shots or selfies where he's,
Huma Abedin looking like she just found out about another sexting scandal.
It's like the one that was on today.
She gains two more bags under her eyes every time her husband does that. That girl, she looks like a deer in the headlights most of the time throughout this whole documentary.
I noticed why she's a consultant, because she's not a speaker. She can't. She doesn't.
No,
have
she's not. No.
Did you notice, when she spoke to a group when Wiener was announcing his candidacy, Wiener comes out and he goes, oh, it's kind of like when Charlie Chaplin first spoke in the movies. It's like, oh, that's what he sounds like. And she kind of has this look on her face like, you motherfucker.
Exactly. He negged her down. It's like in front of everybody.
I'm telling you now, I came away from this thinking that relationship, what we saw on the screen, is nowhere near what it really is.
But by the way, wasn't it hilarious when it comes out that Clinton basically told Huma that she needs to pick between her and Anthony?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Huma just disappears from Anthony's events. And Anthony, they're like, where's Huma? And he's like, oh, she had an event at 9 o'clock and my thing's at 9. But, we're going to rendezvous later. We just had a conflict. I'm like, yeah, you're fucking – during your run for mayor, your wife has a fucking conflict. That's rich.
Something I notice about Wiener is – it only works in New York and the Northeast is that grandstanding he was doing on the Senate floor.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
The so-called bill that was supposed to give medical coverage, free medical coverage to the rescue workers, which is basically, it was obviously a tax that
was
going
to
just
complete horse shit. There's a reason it was struck down. And I remember when this came out and people were going, Anthony Weiner is one of our lions of the Senate. He's a lion. He's a lion of the Senate. No, he's a signaling fucking cock.
He was totally grandstanding. He was just coming off like a ranting Harlan Ellison type.
He did that to raise his cachet. He knew that would make him good,
because he knew it looks good in clips. Looks good in cable news clips. But if you're actually there at the Senate listening to him, you think he's being a prick.
Yeah, no, everybody there is looking at him like, what a fucking asshole,
And because he is, it's
being a fucking asshole.
The funny thing is, he used to
his own self-aggrandizement.
I first heard of him when I was actually listening to Mark Levin's show, 9 years ago, and he would call in every week. Oh. It seemed like a while he was calling in to Mark Levin's show, because I think he knew he still had to reach the conservative audience. And this is the funny thing about his run for mayor: his plans were probably way better than that current jackass they elected,
De Blasio.
Buster. Yeah, it's like he was. I think he was going to probably end the big soda tax and all that other nonsense.
He was. He was going to. I know he wanted to end Stop and Frisk.
He did.
He was talking about ending Stop and Frisk, which you know, crime's gone up.
Giuliani brings it in, crime goes down. De Blasio gets rid of it, and crime goes back up.
Even Bloomberg, who's a total shitlib, was a good Law and Order mayor. Like, he understood that was what needed to happen.
Well, it's like they're not going to get another Giuliani in New York for another
years. No.
Yeah, maybe 40, 50 years. But
Giuliani did that state was just incredible.
You can kill 3,000 New Yorkers and they still can't get red-pilled.
Yeah.
By the way, did you love how whenever Anthony Weiner was meeting out in public, there was always somebody on the edge going, "Yo, Anthony, we support you, bro."
And they're usually black. Sorry. They were usually, "Yo, brother, Anthony Weiner, man. I'm voting for you, man.
I was trying to dog whistle that with my accent, but.
I don't give a fuck. So I'll say it.
But it happens like 4 or 5 times in the movie.
it's like New York should never decide for the rest of the country.
No, they shouldn't.
It is a different planet. It's
the urbanites and I fucking hate New York because it's this city that's built up like it's this great, you know, cultural center, and it's fucking not anymore.
No, it absolutely is not.
It kind of used to be, but now it's just this place for super rich degenerates and imported, you know, workers that live out on the outskirts.
Jersey,
and
Ridge and Tunnel. They're from Jersey.
I mean, if you want to be an artist, don't fucking live in New York. You know, I'm sorry. I know you read about Lou Reed and you read about the Ramones and stuff. That world is gone.
It's gone. Yeah,
it's been gone for years. It's been gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's been gone for a long time. And it's not a city for creative, interesting people. These swipples. But also Weiner. Like many politicians, when I saw him riding bikes around wearing that helmet, I was having flashbacks. Yeah. I was having flashbacks to Michael Dukakis in The Tank.
Yeah. I don't think anybody ever thought he was a presidential hopeful. I think he was more Dukakis? Of like somebody they thought. No, Weiner. I mean, Dukakis won because he got that nomination because he was odd man out because Gary Hart got kicked out of, you know, of the campaign.
Weren't you like there or something when he banged?
Yes,
that
I was.
Not in the room, but you know.
No, I wasn't witnessing Donna Rice and Gary Hart getting it on. But no, he did a campaign stop on the Friday in my hometown, Vicksburg, Mississippi. He did a campaign stop at the public library, and our class went. And the coach who took us there wanted us to go see his thing was actually a Republican. It was an interesting thing. But he wanted us to have an open-minded view of politics. This is the way kids were actually educated back then.
You know what, though? That tends to be a Republican thing. It's like, hey, let's open up the views.
Yeah,
Let them talk. Let's let them hear the opposing view, you know.
Right. And I was standing maybe 3 feet away from Gary Hart while he was talking. And I really thought he was going to be the next president. Because nobody.
He was very handsome and.
Well, he was also sensible. Like, he wasn't an idiot like they are now. He wasn't this far left twit. He was like he was sensible about capitalism and economics and military stuff. He actually had some knowledge. He wasn't a moron.
He did push the nuclear freeze
nonsense, but he was a pretty sensible. He would have made a good president, I think, better than Bill Clinton.
And he was more charismatic than George. Definitely. H.W. Bush.
Yeah, he looked like a guy off of a paperback, men's adventure paperback novel.
He looked like a rugged look.
In person, he was a thin guy or whatever, but he looked good on TV for that. He looked like, oh my God, it's a Steve Holland, Doc Savage cover come to life or, you know, Remo Williams or whatever. And he had the charisma and everything. And I really thought, gee, I think he's going to be the next president, you know, and because he had that type of quality. And then that weekend, literally the next day, he was on the boat with Donna Rice.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and then that ruined him. And it was just like that, like 2 weeks later, I think it hit the covers, the magazine covers or whatever. And the Donna Rice thing just sunk his campaign because they couldn't accept the philandering candidate. So Dukakis got it somehow.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. But, you know, that was our version of the hyped up Wiener scandal back in 88. I really did think. And here, okay, Gary Hart lives like up the mountain from my town. And he does local radio appearances, and he's a completely sensible guy when he's talking. But he was that first candidate that we knew couldn't keep it in his pants. And that actually mattered in 1988. Because if you're going to follow up Reagan, who had this great public image of being a decent guy, you can't have a, you know, you're not going to win with a Democrat that's messing around with models, you know, on the weekends on houseboats.
By the way, just a bit of a fun fact I just found out here about Huma Abedin. If you're at a DC convention, Democratic convention, I should say, sorry, you want to get a photo taken with it, guess how much it costs?
Probably more than it costs with Elvira at a horror convention.
$5,000 $5,000
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, like, okay, that's something that, like, you know, in one scene, Wiener's setting up a fundraiser dinner where it costs, like, some ungodly amount of money for a table and for a couple and for a plate and all that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm like, I can't imagine being rich enough to go to one of those fucking things. I would feel like it's one of those things, like, even if I was rich enough, I wouldn't want to pay that much for that fucking shit to give money.
I got an invite to a Bush 41 dinner like that. It was like, if I could cough up like $1,500, I actually got the invite. I don't know how.
Meanwhile, I guess Trump's like $300. You get a signed copy of Out of the Deal.
Oh, man. But
I read Art of the Deal back in 1989.
And were you like, this is the greatest work of Western literature of the 20th
century? No, I thought it was super hacky. I've made jokes about it before, but he's like, if you want to make more money off your used car, wash the car and vacuum it. That's a good deal. this is like obvious information you should already know. There was nothing
sounds
phenomenal.
Like a goddamn advert for Eddie Trunk for True Car or some shit.
Yeah, yes. It was one of those obvious. It was just blatant info you should already know. You know, it was kind of Dr. Phil type stuff.
Yeah. But I always love, like, alt writers like Richard Spencer. They take pictures of themselves reading Art of the Deal.
Jesus. It reminds me that he's a few years younger than me. I actually remember when they were pushing Art of the Deal, when it was a huge seller, like in 89. It was a big deal.
Oh, my roommate in college was reading How to Get Rich by Donald Trump in my freshman year in college.
Really? So he actually has that book, How to Get Rich?
Yes, it's called How to Get Rich.
I think I'll read the Napoleon Hill book or Dale Carnegie. I think you're better off reading those.
Buy Chinese steel. Buy the shit cheap.
Made in China.
Make a fortune.
Then criticize yourself for it. You know, so.
Then, and also, here's how to avoid paying taxes. It makes you smart.
Actually, take the shelters that are on the form. Check them.
Anyway, I think, boys, we should get back to Wiener and talk about probably the greatest scene in the whole documentary.
Okay.
And what scene is that?
The bagel shop.
Oh, I love the bagel shop scene. I can watch that on replay.
Yeah.
I love the guy. He goes up to, you're a bad role model. And Anthony Wiener goes, what are you, my rabbi? Are you my rabbi? What are you, my rabbi?
Seriously, in all honesty, Wiener, if he had any smarts, should have just walked. He should have. That killed him because that was filmed.
He didn't have any smarts. His ego couldn't accept
that. Exactly. That's right. His ego couldn't hold him back.
Remember, his roommate in college was John Stewart. That's a lot of ego strokage in one room.
Yeah, really, right?
Yeah, oh, God.
But that, you know, that day and age, shit's going to get filmed. Someone's got a phone with a camera and they're filming you, especially someone like Wiener. And where did it wind up the next day? That night was on CNN, or was it with Bill Maher? I can't remember. Somebody played it and was like, there's a career killer right there. Because, as you said previously, he's out having, you know, this big fucking street parade with gays and, you know, the rainbow flag everywhere. And then they show a quick shot of de Blasio's parade. There's like maybe 20 people there.
Yeah. I think that was deceptive editing.
Oh, yeah. It totally was.
It had.
Yeah.
It was. And he's hoisting the Israeli flag, which.
Right.
Which is ironic in a certain way.
Yeah, oh, really?
It is odd for a Democrat.
A Democrat, considering that Israel's policies do not line up with theirs.
Yes.
But, yeah, exactly.
At all.
And considering who he's married to as well. It's
horrible. Yeah.
Well, the guy in the bagel shop married to an Arab.
Married to an Arab.
That's the thing is, it's like, she didn't take his last name, obviously.
No.
And I was wondering, does she convert to Judaism because she marries him?
or is he
They
had a totally secular wedding because you see their pictures. It's outdoors. Bill Clinton officiated over it. Do you think Bill Clinton's like busting out the Torah?
Boy, is that ironic.
Yeah, really, right?
it's like birds of a feather, you know. like power hungry women and their degenerate fucking husbands.
Yeah, it's such a similar marriage, but it's like the Northeast version. You know, it's like the New York version.
But yeah, the whole bagel scene was just outstanding.
That was stunning. That was hilarious. It was like a Christopher Guest movie about a politician.
It really was. Like that that Michael McKean, Christopher Guest improv.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was.
I mean, you were just waiting for Eugene Levy to be the guy in the bagel shop.
Yeah,
and I think you could really tell the filmmakers kind of turned on Wiener when they did the Lawrence O'Donnell bit and they showed him in the studio by himself. Like, you see that contrasted with him on Lawrence and him by himself in the studio.
Yeah.
Where you see the facade on TV and then you see it behind the scenes and he's just sitting alone in this room, like, and it looks, you know, talking to the invisible man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And it's very, it felt really pathetic when you watch it. Cause of course, like when you see him on Lawrence, the shot straight on, Wiener's profile is not very flattering. And that's, I'm not making any, never mind. When you see it, they shoot him from the profile when he's alone in the room and he looks really hunched over. He looks nervous.
Moving about a lot, fidgeting.
See his feet. You can see his feet and he's fidgeting around a lot. You see him moving. Like, he doesn't look confident. He doesn't look tough, even though when he's on Lawrence, you can see him trying to act tough, you know?
Yeah, he's full of fucking shit and hot air in that order. He's an absolute idiot. But you gotta imagine these filmmakers, when that second scandal broke, they must have thought they just hit gold. They hit pay dirt with that one. You couldn't dream of that happening.
And that's the story with so many documentaries, is that they start on as something else. Like, remember Capturing the Freedmans?
Yeah.
And also, like, these documentarians just stumble upon a bigger narrative. But another thing I was thinking of was, did you ever see the documentary on Michael Moore, Manufacturing Dissent?
Yes.
Because that started out, it started out as a pro-Michael Moore documentary. It was made by some Canadian leftists, and they thought that Michael Moore was this hero who spoke truth to power. And then they went to go make a documentary on him, and they discovered that he's actually a total piece of shit.
Yeah, he is a piece of shit.
It's well known.
is that the one that had that Penn Jillette in that documentary?
No, that was Michael Moore Hates America.
I've seen them both, but I was getting mixed up. Yeah,
that was also the one that had one of the Maisels brothers saying, "Oh no, that's accurate. Michael Moore hates America."
Yeah,
Albert Maisels. Yeah, it was Albert Maisels because
He goes, "Yeah, I think he does." That's what
he
said.
He does. That's like, because they in the documentary, one of the running jokes is people going, "What's the name of this movie?" And the guy going, "Oh, well, you know, it's called Michael Moore Hates America," because he thinks that's when they're going to turn him on. And they go, "No, I think he does."
What's interesting, it reminds me what a big overexposed pundit Penn Jillette was back then. Because he was always on cable news, you know, because he'd do any cable news show and he would be on there giving the libertarian perspective.
I know.
And I'm an atheist.
I used to like Penn Jillette. Now he gets me all rustled when I see him talk.
I think he sucks. I'm tired of him.
Yeah,
and his podcast actually turned me off from him because it was.
When I saw it was called Penn's Sunday School, I was like, no thanks.
I actually listened to like three episodes. It was just, I was an atheist.
Penn Jillette, just seriously, stick to the magic. That's all you need to do.
As a libertarian.
I hate libertarianism. I really do.
I used to love it.
I used to describe myself as a libertarian.
I was going to say, John, aren't you registered as a libertarian?
Yeah, I am. I'm still registered as one. I'm probably going to change that when I get my ass down to the voting office.
Good man.
Yeah, I'm going to change to like independent, or maybe I'll join something crazy like the American Constitution Party to stay off.
Any reason why you can't just go Republican, you idiot?
There's a lot of things about. Well, I'll put it this way: if Trump loses, those conservatives like Bill Kristol types are going to be running the party again.
Oh boy!
If he wins, the party has changed permanently, and those guys are done. Which I would, if he wins, I'd probably go red
register as a Republican.
Seriously, well, I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to say nothing groundbreaking by saying what I'm about to say, but I'm just going to repeat it as an outsider looking in. Trump needs to win or your country's gone.
I know.
It's gone.
Well,
it'll take America decades to get back from what happens if Hillary Clinton gets in.
It's already going to take us a decade to get back from damage. It'll take
three times as long as she gets in.
It's going to take a long time because of Bush and Obama, and I even think Reagan made some fatal mistakes that
In the long run, yeah, I know conservatives listeners are like, what? But it's like, yeah, in the long run, he made some mistakes too that we're paying for.
And, you know, if you think about it, you know what those mistakes are. But this path even goes before Reagan. I mean, you know, it goes back to the 60s with Ted Kennedy. But with Hillary winning, the thing is that one thing that makes me angry about libertarians is that they are very – we love free markets. We love all this stuff. And we also love open borders. Well, guess what you can't have both of? You cannot have open borders and free markets. Sorry, it just doesn't work.
Nope. Yeah. No, but how about open borders is about energy, remember?
Oh, yeah. It's all about
is that the biggest fucking scam you've ever heard in your life? It's just, it's all about energy. What? Really? No, just... Like I said, I'm an outsider looking in. I live in a different country over the ocean. Even I could fucking say that shit telegraphed as a lie straight away.
I don't think Hillary supporters don't believe that shit.
Actually, you know what? I think they do.
You think so? You think they're that? I think they're totally sold on it. I don't know.
Look, I watch enough news channels, and I see Democratic strategists and analysts.
Yeah, but those people, you know, here's the thing about the Democrats. Is that they are totally united.
Yeah, like, they're united. But how can they just go in there and even say, she's talking about that? You can't.
I don't think they're as united as thought to be, because my mother was a big Bernie supporter. And she voted for Trump early on because she was so pissed off what they did to Bernie, not realizing that Bernie was obviously a stalking
horse. I'm hoping your grandmother represents a larger group.
No, my mother, not my grandmother.
And your grandmother, your mother.
Your grandmother may have voted if she's dead because, you know.
That's true. I mean, both of my grandmothers are dead. Probably did vote. Yeah, I'm sure they voted for Hillary in Mississippi.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm hoping we have there are more people like your mother and Randy Quaid who are Bernie bros who are that committed to destroying the establishment, because that is the whole thing. I want to destroy the Republicans, destroy the Democrats. You know,
exactly. That's what I like. That's what I like. I like the idea of destroying both parties.
I hope the fact that raging idiot Donna Brazile, given the question, that two questions to Clinton at the primary against Sanders, I hope Bernie supporters turn on that bitch.
They have. Anything. CNN is like, we're done.
They
with
fired
her,
didn't they?
Well, they fired her. Yeah. Well, they say they fired her, but they also said that she handed in her resignation. So, why the fuck would you resign unless you had a cloud?
She was fired. That's a nice way of saying she.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's one of those things where they say you can hand in your resignation, and that'll be what's official. Yeah. You know?
Or we cut you. You have a choice. Because they've done that to some people at my office.
Isn't she the chair of the DNC now, though? Isn't she the new Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Yeah.
I thought she was, but that's pretty bad choice.
She's the interim.
It's the worst choice.
It's
no surprise
if they were losing next week.
Is that interview with
if they were losing by the time you're listening to this, it's just like we're dating ourselves as bad as the Wiener Doc.
Oh, I know. But maybe that'll make us as interesting as the Wiener Doc. I don't know.
Yeah. But I don't know if people really listen to us for the information. I think they just like all the jokes.
Yeah.
But you know what? What I liked about this doc is they showed you can't have a New York documentary. That of Howard Stern.
Oh,
I know.
He's talking to Cindy Lauper like, just kind of throw bologna at your ass.
Where's Garrow when we need him?
Oh,
Garrow doesn't. I don't know. Does Garrow do a routine? I can't remember.
I don't know. Well, he's always, Howard.
I think the pinnacle of the low point of Wiener's campaign and him as a human being was him leaving after he conceded defeat running through McDonald's to avoid Sydney Leathers was as bad as low as somebody could get.
I mean, here's the thing is like, the thing is, Sydney Leathers roils me. Whenever she was on screen, I was just like, oh, God. You know, she's just so gross. She is AIDS incarnate, as I said earlier. But so that scene where she's like, oh, my God, he's afraid of a 23-year-old. I'm like, there is no way he wins if he sees you. You know, in a way, she kind of won because she got him on. He's on camera running through a McDonald's.
Yeah, she totally won.
You know, so she kind of wins.
Yeah, she sunk his campaign.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think he would have won. He would have totally won.
She's so like, oh, she's so degenerate. Like, I think your campaign, sorry, not really. Yeah. Ugh. So gross.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a jackass. It's this typical.
Oh, it's
funny thing because somebody made a remark like baby boomers don't understand tech. Gen Xers don't either. Because Anthony Weiner is my generation, and
he
unreal. It was funny to see as well the results in the end. It was down the bottom, and de Blasio like wiped the floor.
And here's the thing: I knew he lost. I didn't know how badly he lost.
Yeah. It was just like wow.
By the way, the best part in that movie is one of the gold parts of that movie is when the camera goes through the office after the scandal breaks and everybody in there is just pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could see them all, like all the young people in there, all the millennials who are like, I believe in Anthony Weiner, all the fucking dumb rubes. They're all just sitting there like going, fuck.
Yeah. And I like the bitchy gay consultant.
Oh, I know.
That was like close to the deli scene as my favorite. The bagel shop scene is my favorite scene. It was just bitchy, just sitting there. And Weiner's totally, subservient to him, practically.
Oh, for sure. He wants the gay vote as well.
Yeah.
By the way, Anthony Weiner, whenever he's in a meeting, the way he sits in a chair bothers me.
Yeah.
He sits in a chair like a middle schooler.
Yeah.
Like a seventh grader.
Yeah.
Like somebody who's like, I want to signal how much I don't care. I'm going to slouch down in this chair and look at my phone.
Because he wants to send dick pics to Sydney Leathers.
Oh, he's just sitting there like thinking about my dick and my Sydney Leathers.
Yeah, that's all he cares about is his dick and my 15-year-old. That's the latest scandal. Wasn't she 15?
Yes, 15. Jesus. And by the way, the 15-year-old wrote an open letter to Anthony to Comey saying, yeah, you let my identity out. You're supposed to protect me, and you didn't protect me.
Well, whatever.
Oh, please.
I'm like, okay.
They'll be texting a grown man, you know. Sorry. I mean, obviously she's a victim.
I was watching Sheriff Clark was on the Kelly file the other night. And as you know, don't know Sheriff David Clark is a sheriff in Milwaukee County Sheriff, and he will not call Hillary Clinton by her name. He calls her Mrs. Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
he refuses to call. And one of the people on the show with Megyn Kelly was going, "Oh, you know, Sheriff Clark, I love you a lot, but why can't you call her by her name?" He goes, "I will call her Mrs. Bill Clinton. She had no problem being called that in the 90s. I'll call her that now." I fucking love Sheriff Clark. He's so awesome, mate. He's like, if you don't know who Sheriff Clark is, he's this black sheriff, bald head, stone face looking guy. And lately he started wearing a Stetson hat on TV because he never used to wear hats.
Good for the image.
Oh, yeah. He started wearing a Stetson hat, and Megyn Kelly's like, and join me as Sheriff David Clark. And he just sat there, like, didn't move a muscle. And she could sort of feel the tension, and she goes, "Oh, I love it when Sheriff wears his hat." Didn't move a muscle. He just sat there stone face.
It's because he's doing like a Charles Bronson.
Oh, totally. Whenever he gets out of law enforcement, dude, stick him in a movie because he'd be the best action hero we've seen in years.
Those are the movies black guys his age watched.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They are.
Sheriff Clark is a
Charles Bronson and John Wayne and Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, for sure. He's I love it. Listen to Sheriff Clark's podcast as well. He's he hasn't done one for a couple of months, but his podcast is very entertaining. That one he did on Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is an idiot.
Oh my god. I never mind. I'm not gonna go into that.
Okay. But I mean, this I got to say, after I finished watching this documentary, 96 minutes later, my jaw was on the floor. I couldn't believe what I'd just seen. Because I sat there going, this is just a puff piece from at the start. And then
it was like watching Metallica, some kind of monster.
It was, yeah. You just see the disintegration of the individual.
Mean, it's one of those things where it's like, how did they let this out there? Why does this exist? Like,
I'm surprised he hasn't tried to block it, to be honest with you.
Like, even Metallica, when they bring up some kind of monster, they're kind of like, oh, fuck, you know, that thing.
Wiener would have no case because he's a public figure, so he couldn't block it legally.
No. True.
He gave them permission to film him, and yes. he can't pull that at the last minute because the doc didn't turn out the way it was supposed to.
Yeah.
Okay. So they were signed all releases for this beforehand.
Yeah, that was all signed beforehand. It's like they're not going to waste any time filming.
And the beginning of the movie, like Stu said, it feels like, oh my God, you know, this is a puff piece. But yeah. One of the reasons I wanted to do this was Bret Easton Ellis was talking about it. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that it was like crass and bizarre and cringy and just like totally out there. And right. Bret Easton Ellis is one of our greatest movie critics right now. You know, right.
I've still got to listen to his podcast. I still have not done it yet.
It's pretty good. I mean, I don't agree with everything he says, but
and he has some shitty guests on occasion.
He really does.
McGowan. Oh God! Oh, that show,
you know what though? That show was kind of interesting because it got everyone pissed.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
he
was getting a lot of negative messages about that.
Like his podcast kind of went away for a little bit after that. I mean, and he does take long breaks, but. The right hated it because of, you know, Rose's opinions, but the left hated it too because she went after gay men.
Yeah.
And Bret Easton Ellis, who's gay, is sitting there furiously agreeing with her. You know?
Yeah, he didn't come off well, and he came off like he was just completely controlled by her. She just dominated the show.
She is a very alpha personality.
Yeah, she is. And, of course, that's why she's basically turned against the world now. And trying to phrase her, like claiming like Harvey Weinstein raped her in the 90s.
And she's like a skinhead now. Like she's
weird.
She looks like Sigourney Weaver in Alien 3.
No, it's like I don't think it happened because she doesn't name him. It's like if you named him, you would prevent future victims if it was real. And it's like
it's one of those things where it's like Corey Feldman. It's like he talks about he knows these people who did this, but he won't say it.
Yeah.
And I know maybe there's legal reasons why he won't do it, but it's one of those things where we need to know, dude. You know?
Yeah, you might want to know to stop it. You know? You're basically allowing further molestations to happen. It's
there's this big Hollywood executive, he's the reason Corey Haim is dead. But
it's like
you're
gonna let him kill more kids? You know, it's just like you're gonna let him ruin more lives, or are you just gonna name him? You know? Be a man.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's got other things to think about before he just comes out and names.
He doesn't have much of a singing career, to say that.
Well, no, he doesn't.
You could do a similar embarrassing documentary about him that they did with
Will. Oh, my God, the Corey's Angels? Jeez.
Yeah,
Louise.
You know, but if you had read his book, he talks about he's got a son, and, you know, that's the most important thing to him. So, and, you know, accidents can happen. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm.
Yeah, so, you got to look at it from that perspective. I sort of see what he's saying.
Yeah,
I'm sure if he was a single guy or just a guy who was not, if he didn't have any children, I'm sure by now we would have known, without a doubt.
I would just say sell everything and move to the Midwest, get out of showbiz.
Yeah,
like there was a show I used to enjoy on the early version of Fox Television Network called The Adventures of Beans Baxter. It was sort of a teen secret agent comedy from Savage Steve Holland, the guy who directed Better Off Dead and One Crazy Summer.
Mm.
And it's completely forgotten. It's like obscure now. But I was wondering, what happened to the lead actor on that show? And I looked him up, and he quit acting after that show was canceled and just works at like a car automotive company, and he restores like old classic cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, screw showbiz. It's messed up.
Yeah, some people, and they get their money and they just get out. Like, you know, what was it? One of the most bizarre examples is Macaulay Culkin, who just, you know, just became a recluse and
just sat around watching wrestling on his couch all the time.
He goes on tour with his Velvet Underground pizza themed band.
No, you know? That's right. Yeah.
Like, which came to Dallas and I missed and I regret deeply.
Well, you can look at people like Eddie Furlong and see what Hollywood does to people as well.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's got an addictive personality to begin with, but Hollywood's not helping. Not
well, and childhood trauma can create an addictive personality too. Like, because you bury that shit in drugs and alcohol.
Doing a film with Arnie would do it to you.
Watch as I molest these three women here, little boy.
Damn it, this is how you're a man.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I can't do an Arnold like John does.
Eating is not cheating.
Oh, watch, I'm going to lift this tree trunk while this lady blows me and I do cocaine. And Franco, go get me some eggs and a burger.
All right. Listen, when I rate this thing.
Yes.
All right. Well, first off, where can we find it?
You can find it on VOD on Amazon. You can find it on VOD on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's on iTunes, too.
Yeah, I think it might be on a Showtime service. I think it's
Showtime. Yeah, Showtime. It's a Showtime doc, so yeah. That's
right.
Yeah,
so if you have a Showtime streaming access, you can watch it there.
Yeah, I think you can find it there, yeah.
But if you're a political junkie, highly recommended. It's way cringier and more hilarious than, you know, like, because like the War Room is pure political junkie, like, you know, strategy and, you know, operations and all that. This is just pure, like, watching.
This is the disintegration of a human being in front of your eyes.
Yeah, exactly. It really is.
I've never seen anything like it, really. No. Like, not since The Man with the Golden Arm have I seen a movie so
self-destruct. All it's missing is a needle and the junk.
That's, you know, I swear.
If you had the Kronos Quartet soundtrack, it would be Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, most likely.
It is just pure deterioration. And I mean, and this is what's funny. If you wrote this as a fiction script for Hollywood, they wouldn't greenlight it. They'd say it was too unbelievable.
They'd be like, oh, a guy named Wiener, and he sends his dick to somebody, and, you know, this
dick
is bullshit.
No. If this was a Hollywood film, John, and they did greenlight it, it wouldn't be a Democrat, that's for sure.
No, it'd be a Republican.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it would be written by Joe Esterhaus or something.
Yeah. What the interesting thing is, this, I remember when the Wiener scandal broke. You know, not the current one that's changed the election, but
John?
The one depicted in this movie, the second scandal.
Yeah, yeah.
The John Derbyshire had said that he was asked why more Republican politicians are not caught in this type of scandal, and he said because conservative politics come from a conservative temperament.
Yeah.
And that's why you're just less likely to see
they
it.
Don't fucking
and
do
there
it
have been some,
well.
But it not on the
well, do and, it. And, yeah. There are some, you know, that's true, and that's one reason you see more these divisions on the right. There are more people on the right that are like, oh, my principles, my flag, you know, that are like, I'm my constitution. I'm not gonna, you know, I can't vote for Trump because it goes against my principles. I'm gonna vote for Gary Johnson because weed and my dick, you know.
Yeah.
A
lot of them, this is what was so bullshitty. A lot of them were saying, wow, the Libertarian Party sounds really interesting. Like they just discovered them.
Oh, I don't know. Dude, I knew Catholics who were saying that. And I was like, it took a lot of effort for me not to like just
I registered with that fucking party in 1992. And everybody I know who's been a long-term Libertarian for decades, like me, we're voting for Trump. It's like we're done.
Have you guys heard or seen anybody actually throw any support behind Jill Stein?
I know some people who are voting for Jill Stein.
Oh, I don't know any, but even Jill Stein is saying vote for Trump.
Yeah, she is.
She is. She said that he is an anti-establishment candidate. He's a better choice than Hillary.
She's right.
Roadkill is a better choice than fucking Hillary. The woman is just. This may be the last podcast I do before I get meet with an accident, but I don't give a fuck. I'm good.
Let's just say next week's show is going to be interesting.
If we are doing a show next week, then we've survived.
We may just be on suicide watch. I don't know.
Yeah, we might
have a post-apocalyptic film next week.
Yeah, next week it'll be like we'll be doing Armageddon or something. No, not Armageddon. That's too hopeful.
Road Warrior.
Deep impact.
Deep impact.
We'll do our Road Warrior episode finally.
Yeah, really. That's what America will become. It's just
either way, we're going to be there.
Elysium. I'm thinking the Steve Saylor take.
Well, the we can just discuss ad nauseum the that scene in Terminator 2 where everybody gets wiped out.
Yeah, we'll just blast, talk about that scene.
Political nuclear blast of Hillary. She won't even last. Yeah. Look, if she gets through, she's going to be impeached. It's as simple as that.
And also, like, if we don't get destroyed, if we don't go to war with Russia first, because remember, this is the candidate who wants to go to war with Russia. Meanwhile, Henry Rollins is going, she's the stop everything from blowing up candidate.
Where are they getting these ideas from? It's like,
I don't know. You guys should go to war with Russia because they don't carry nuclear weapons, do they, Russia?
Yeah, they do.
Yes, they do.
If we had a land battle with Russia, we would lose.
We
would lose hard in a land war with Russia. Just no question.
I'm sorry, military is just not in that great a shape right now.
It used to be, no.
I have there was an active Marine in the Kempo class I used to take, and a real tough guy, and he was in Fallujah and killed people. And he said he never wanted to go up against a Russian Spetsnaz. Because that's the special forces of Russia. They, he said they were crazy tough.
Well, and like our military is made for going into like specific areas. It's not made for going up against an enemy like Russia. Just that's not the way it's set up. It hasn't been designed like that since
the 1950s, probably, or even really the 1940s.
Yeah. Imagine if Gary Johnson got through. But like, we're going to go to war with Aleppo. Where that? Where that?
If somebody was like, What if Aleppo falls? Well, Aleppo hasn't mattered since the Crusades.
that was like the greatest moment in that second debate.
What if Aleppo falls? Martha Raddatz.
And he's like, it's gone. There's no saving it.
Who cares? It fell during the Crusades, and nobody's cared since.
It's like, I don't give a shit.
Martha Raddatz. I do not give a fuck. Anderson Cooper looks more female than Martha Raddatz. That second debate was a disgrace as moderator.
I actually could not believe how balanced Chris Wallace was.
Oh, he nailed it with that.
People think Fox News is this right wing fucking network, yet Chris Wallace is,
and that's why I watch only Fox News.
Well, here's the thing, but I mean, when it came to the debate, it was fair and balanced.
Oh no, he really was. Yeah.
He asked tough questions to both candidates. Now he could have, like, there were tougher questions he could have asked Hillary, but he did not, like, it was not like the second debate where CNN was just blitzkrieging Trump,
Second debate spiraled out of control.
And Trump just like destroyed all three of them,
Yeah.
What I was thinking was what they should have done with those. They both had a problem. Hillary was worse with going over the 2 minutes that was allotted to them. They should have had a device where the mics would cut. 2 minutes, mic cut, that's it.
Well, I think they don't do that because it's one of those things that would be really embarrassing and candidates wouldn't agree to that,
Not. But
there's no way to prep for that either because nobody actually times how long they speak.
No, they got a countdown clock behind the moderator. They got the clock in front of them.
Yeah, but cutting their mics, you can't really do it. It's just like the Oscars. Like when they actually cut their mics, it's headlines.
We should get to,
it's one of those things where it's like the press will just like murder you for that.
Yeah.
They'll be like, he cut his mic.
Let her speak. Even if it was fairly done, they would still be going, they're not letting her speak.
They won't let her speak, or they'll go, they cut his mic because he talked too long because he's a blowhard,
Yeah, and it's like, and she's got the most fat laden sentences where she just rambles to eat up time. That's what I noticed during the debate.
She starts every debate by talking about her granddaughter.
Right.
Yeah. I was talking with my granddaughter.
You see Bill Clinton lose at a heckler the other day?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh. Now, some lady was heckling Bill Clinton, saying that he called Obamacare a crazy idea or something. He goes, you tell me, when did I say that?
He did say it.
Yeah. Fox was showing it. I was watching Brian Kilmeade, Fox and Friends. They showed it. He said it at the start of October. And Clinton's going to this lady, oh, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Don't look at the internet. It's like, what? If I was Hillary, first of all, I would have hung myself. But if I was Hillary and I didn't hang myself, by the second thing I would have done was, Bill, fuck off. Don't get on the campaign trail for me because you've got AIDS. You've got dementia and you've got fucking syphilis and everything else. Your brain's cactus. Just shut up and go. Just hide.
It's one of those things.
I'm stunned she got the candidacy because
I watched the first Democrat debate, or listened to half of it, watched the rest of it. I was totally stunned Jim Webb dropped out after the first debate because he saw the whole thing was rigged.
But you got to wonder how many of them were actually told, you keep running against Hillary and we're going to destroy you. And just they just
that must have been what happened, because Jim Webb was a great candidate. He would have been a terrific – he would have been a Democrat candidate I would have thought about voting for, because he was a good guy, like you could tell. And they were acting like it was a big deal because he killed people in Vietnam and stuff. You know, doing what you're supposed to do as a soldier. And I
said, Hillary's,
you know,
killed people as well, but just not
right. Not with her bare hands like Jim Webb, I guess. No. But 30 years ago, Jim Webb would have been a great candidate. And
Seth,
you would have had a
Rich's
tough time
deciding. Attest to that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like he was a – I said, why is he on that stage? Because this party doesn't reflect him anymore. He's a old blue dog Democrat, kind of the flag waving guy.
So I'm just looking at Milo's latest post on Facebook.
Oh, what's he doing now?
He's got a picture of Lena Dunham in a red bra and panties. It says, Lena Dunham, extinction of white men would prompt evolution of better men. And Milo says she mocks white men, then she dances. You got to read the story.
Did you see that video about that she posted about the extinction of white men?
No, I haven't seen it. That's probably.
Oh, it was about how like white straight white men need to go extinct because they're a pro. It was like watching The Eternal Jew or something. Like, it was one of those things where I was like, you could post this? Really?
She's a disgrace. That woman is.
I think she's starting to realize her popularity is not quite what her agent told her it was.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
That was probably the one thing that did bug me about the documentary was they act like Bill Maher and Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert are these big shows, and they're not.
Oh, I know.
Where's the New York show
coverage?
There
was barely any Fox coverage on it. It was a small bit of Hannity, and there was
Shepard Smith. When the scandal news broke, they had
Shepard Smith or Bill Hemmer?
No, it was Shepard Smith.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, he's from Mississippi, so I recognize a Mississippi accent.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And that was it. All the rest was CNN, ABC, MSNBC. It's like...
Yeah. Lawrence O'Donnell, that was like a show that like Lawrence's mother watched, and that was about it.
Mm.
Yeah, but of course, that's where Wiener had his most embarrassing
incident. Is his show's not around anymore, is it?
I don't think so. He was just some crazy liberal that...
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, his show, it was always outrageous, but nobody watched it because he was such a fucking, like, shill.
He was a jack-off.
Best show to watch, Judge Jeanine. This is fucking fantastic. That woman is a firebrand. It's like this 65-year-old woman is just. Oh, I would not want to get her upset.
I think Never Trumpers like really hate her.
I think
like,
she, I think
like they really hate anybody that shows any partiality.
I think she's fantastic when she goes on TV, especially when I watch her show on the weekends. And when she was talking about Wiener, you know, after the whole laptop scandal broke, she goes, she didn't call him Anthony Wiener, she called him dirty pedophile pig Anthony Wiener. She always, every time she talks about it, she goes, that dirty pedophile or that filthy pedophile Anthony Wiener. Like,
they should have called it Dirty Pedophile Documentary.
Really should have, yeah. Yeah.
Well, so what ratings do we give this, gentlemen?
I'm going to give this 8 selfies to 15-year-olds out of 10.
I'll give it 8 waffle irons.
I give this 8 bagels.
8 Arab wives out of 10.
8 Arab wives.
Oh, my God. And the guy who was giving Wiener shit in that bagel shop had this really, really fucking Jewish name, like Saul. I forgot what it was.
Saul Rosenberg.
Yeah, something like that.
Very traditional, does not like marrying a shiksa, you know? Yeah.
What part of New York, look, pardon my ignorance, what part of New York would that have been? Don't say all of it, because I'm like... please don't say New York, I know that, I've heard it before.
I think Brooklyn.
Okay, right.
My guess would be Brooklyn. I've always heard Brooklyn is where a lot of Jewish people
and
live.
The Bronx is Italians, is it? Right.
Like in Boston, it would be in Brookline. That's where I always saw like the a lot of Jewish people around. There were bagel shops. Which I don't have any problem with. I love bagels. I really do.
I like Jews as well.
Yeah, the Jewish people are very nice. Yeah. So
we've been pro-Israel on this show since forever. I don't know if fuck people.
Oh yeah, I'm a total flag waver for Israel.
I just want their policies here. That's all.
Yeah, James Holroy reminded me. He goes, John, you and I are pro-Israel. We're the only ones in this building that are pro-Israel, buddy.
Oh, they have a wall. Why can't we?
And just getting off American politics for a second, getting onto local politics for myself here. Mr. Turnbull, well done, sir. It's taking you 14 months to actually do something. He's now told illegal asylum seekers, if you come here, you're being turned back, and he's backdated it to June 2013.
I saw that. I was like, you see, Australia knows what's up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay, well, that was that. We recommend you watch Wiener.
Yeah, watch it. It's perfect for this current climate, I think, which, you know, will only last a few more days, so get on
it's
that.
It's actually entertaining if you don't follow politics.
It really is. Yeah, no, yeah. That's the thing is you – it's like I think the War Room is only entertaining if you're a political junkie.
Exactly. Anybody else would be bored to death by it.
Anybody else would be like, oh, my God, George, who's this Cajun idiot and this midget, you know?
Right.
But this movie it's actually like great cringe humor. If you like cringe humor, that feels authentic. It's great.
Yeah. Just to watch the complete destruction of this man, it's just it's fantastic. Especially
it's glorious.
Since he's a Democrat as well, which is even better.
But you know what though? Anthony Weiner, like a phoenix, has risen as the savior of Western civilization.
Oh boy, I tell you what. I know I sound like a broken record, but if Hillary loses, how ironic would it be that Anthony Weiner is the one who brought her down?
The
final death blow, I should say, not solely brought her down, because that's, you know, Lord and Master Julian Assange, James O'Keefe. Anthony Weiner could be the final.
I think Anthony Weiner, you know, he'll be one of the saviors if Trump wins.
Oh,
on
actually,
Tuesday.
We can put in there. Peter Schweitzer as well, because he's actually cooperating with the FBI a lot due to his book Clinton Cash.
Let's not forget Pepe.
Pepe. No, can't forget Pepe, and rest in peace Harambe.
Yes, R.I.P.
Spirit lives on.
Yeah. And obviously, subsidiary,
you know, Harambe,
people like Milo and Gavin Mendes, obviously. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Harambe had information that would lead to the arrest of Hillary Clinton.
Obviously.
That's why he was killed.
Oh, and that Project Veritas video, John, you sent us.
James O'Keefe, yes.
Yeah, James O'Keefe. Why the fuck hasn't that gotten more traction than the last
Because they
don't want that out there.
That would kill her off.
It's a total red pill.
Yeah. But why hasn't Fox got jumped all over this? I haven't seen it on Fox yet.
Well,
They don't like him for some reason.
They don't like – well, and plus Fox is not run by Roger Ailes anymore.
No.
It's run by two liberals. Murdoch's two liberal kids.
Murdoch.
I don't think they're liberals.
Murdoch's a liberal neocon. You know, he's a
– it's neoconservative. He was backing Hillary early on.
Yeah, he was. He's friends with Clinton. Rupert Murdoch's not this conservative. Like – even my super liberal friends, like from the UK, they say that Murdoch's not a conservative. They said because he owns socialist magazines, he owns magazines of all political stripes.
He's walking out $10 million for Obama's biography. It's like, what are you doing? This is crazy.
He's
had it out with Roger Ailes supposedly over the content on Fox News. Right, Roger Ailes is the only reason it was kind of right of center.
Yeah, and Ailes is gone now, so I mean, it's all Megyn.
It's even questionable how conservative Ailes really is.
And it's all Megyn Kelly and dildos now. So
yeah, fuck Fox, man. Although I know,
hey, you.
I'm sorry, I will go into that channel.
I
mean, for you, it's way more entertaining. But Hunter and I burned out on Fox years ago.
Yeah, probably.
Because we've been around it a lot longer. I remember in the late 90s when Matt Drudge had a show and Judith Reagan had a show. And
Matt Drudge, he is a missed voice when it comes to his actual voice. You know, I love
it. God, I loved his radio show that ran until about 2008.
It's great.
I listened to it every Sunday. I always went out of my way to listen to it. It was fantastic. And it's like one of my all-time favorite radio shows.
He's one of the great ranters.
Oh, he'd just sit there and he would just go, Hillary's going to keep taxing us. As if she's president, give us our money back, you thieves. You know, he would just sit there with all the dramatic pauses. Real dramatic, of course. You know, he's all gay and dramatic, but he was awesome. It was a unique voice that you don't get on his website. His website's just links and crazy headlines.
Yeah, his website's, it's editorializing through links, but, you know, you don't get, like,
that interview he did with Alex Jones is gold because that's what Drudge is like when he's just fucking
his
off the chain.
His radio show was 3 hours of him ranting and talking about tomorrow's headlines, and he was always, you know, he'd always get the leaked New York Times headlines, and he would always have Ann Coulter on. He would always have Pat Buchanan on, and Camille Paglia. Same. He would have them on like every weekend. And
three people I hold in high esteem.
Yeah, it was just like I learned about Ann Coulter on his show. I didn't really see her on TV.
Mm.
And Pat Buchanan, I've always liked, even though he's always been something iffy about him. But I remember when he was running against George Bush in the I think in the 90 was it the 80 I think it was a 92 primary.
92 primary.
I liked him. I was like, I wish he was the candidate. He should get
Death of the West is one of the great red pilling books.
Well, he was against the first Iraq War, which I was against Desert Storm as well. Yeah, like I didn't see why are we messing around in the Middle East even back then. I was just like, why are we going to war over there? It's like, who cares? Let the Arabs hire mercenary armies or whatever, so their own kids to fight.
All right. Well, I think we'll wrap this one up. You boys got any parting words you want to say to the people who do this before the election? Any impression, please, you've got to your fellow Americans?
Well, people who are still listening to us are on our side, so make America great. Don't fucking be one of these people who protest votes like libertarian. Vote for Donald J. Trump, okay?
And actually, more important, get out and vote.
Go vote, but vote for Donald Trump. If you're going to vote for anybody else, just vote for Donald Trump. I'm not going to say stay home. Vote for Donald Trump. If you physically can't pull the lever for Trump, stay home, okay? Yeah, that's it. Don't vote for Dildo Johnson, okay?
I say vote for whoever you want except Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson drove me away from the Libertarian Party, so I don't care if you vote for Hillary or Donald or Jill Stein. Don't vote for Gary Johnson. I hate that. I'm sorry. I hate that guy.
I'm not saying we can't be friends, but I'm just I'm pleading with you. I mean, believe me, I have plenty of friends who are pulling for Hillary. It hurts, but whatever. I don't, you know.
I got
we
friends
can still,
and family up the yin-yang pulling for Hillary. So.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not anything personal, but I'm saying MAGA, you know, that's all. I'm saying let's save Western civilization. That's all.
Yeah.
The fact you guys don't have to vote just staggers me. It should be mandatory.
No, I'm glad it isn't.
That is a whole can of worms. We don't need to go into
it. We're too big to have mandatory vote. It just wouldn't work.
Oh, sorry.
It would be the dumbest vote the mostest. I'm sorry. It just would.
It would be.
It would not be good.
I'm actually kind of glad we don't because, you know, we have a lot of people that don't fucking want voting.
Yeah, there's enough people. It was bad enough on MTV. We got kids to vote for Bill Clinton in 92.
Yeah, I know. Rock the vote.
Oh, jerks.
I'm Dave Mustaine, and I want you to go out and vote.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. No. Meet the real vote.
Yeah, all right, and that piece of shit, sure, she can just go and eat shit like that fucking asshole. She's out campaigning for Killery in New York at the moment.
Killery.
Fucking cunt. Okay, sure. Plastic asshole. All right.
On that note, we will be, you know, by the time you listen to this, the election may be over or maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Or it'll be in court for the next year. So.
Yeah. We may be facing firing squad. Who knows?
Yeah, well, Joe Biden will step in.
We're not smart like some of these other podcasts where they use fake names.
Yeah. Oh, how I wish we'd use completely fake names.
I wish I was,
living in Australia where it doesn't really affect you.
Yeah, exactly.
Where our politicians wouldn't even get this fucking far if they were under some sort of criminal investigation. It wouldn't get this far. That's what I can't understand.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
That's the thing that kills me the most.
It's fucking crazy.
If, oh my God. If we had a candidate here of, okay, yes, we have political parties, so it's different. But if we had a political party leader, say, for instance, Bill Shorten, Labor Party, leftist, if he was under criminal investigation, gone. The Labor Party would say, you have to go. You're out. It wouldn't come to this. I'm staggered at the fact this woman may get through in a few days' time from the time of us recording this now, be your elected president and be under criminal investigation for not one but two crimes.
And all the while talking like a Mars Attack Martian on press conferences.
And I'm telling you now, I'm not having a go at American people here or America as a country. I think it's a great country, but use your brains. This woman is under criminal investigation for two separate charges, and she's still... I'm sure people in England and throughout Europe who are watching this are just going, I can't believe it. Incredible. As they say, I'll finish up with these words, only in America, I guess.
In America.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. With that, let's sign off. I'll say adios.
And I'll say MAGA dog.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast. To leave feedback and show suggestions, email us at midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like our Midnight Movie Cowboys show page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and feel free to leave us a review. Listen to us on Stitcher.com or the Stitcher Radio app. Want to help the show out? Visit MidnightMovieCowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate link. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Our personal links are on the right side of our homepage. See y'all next time.
Two years.